This is Psalm 89. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David my servant. Thy seed will I establish forever and build up thy throne to all generations, Selah. And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. For who in the heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee? Thou rulest the raging of the sea. When the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them. Thou hast broken Rahab in pieces as one that is slain. Thou hast scattered thine enemies with thy strong arm. The heavens are thine. The earth also is thine. As for the world and the fullness thereof, thou hast founded them. The north and the south thou hast created them. Tabor and Hermon shall rejoice in thy name. Thou hast a mighty arm, strong is thy hand, and high is thy right hand. Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. In thy name shall they rejoice all the day, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. For thou art the glory of their strength, and in thy favor our horn shall be exalted. For the Lord is our defense, and the Holy One of Israel is our King. Then thou spakest in vision to thy Holy One, and saidst, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of the people. I have found David my servant, with my holy oil have I anointed him, with whom my hand shall be established. Mine arm also shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not exact upon him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. And I will beat down his foes before his face, and plague them that hate him. But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn be exalted. I will set his hand also in the sea, and his right hand in the rivers. He shall cry unto me, Thou art my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. I will make him my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth. My mercy will I keep for him forevermore, and my covenant shall stand fast with him. His seed also will I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. If his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then will I visit their transgression with the rod, and their iniquity with stripes. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. Once have I sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. It shall be established forever as the moon, and as a faithful witness in heaven, Selah. But thou hast cast off and abhorred, thou hast been wroth with thine anointed. Thou hast made void the covenant of thy servant, thou hast profaned his crown by casting it to the ground. Thou hast broken down all his hedges, thou hast brought his strongholds to ruin. All that pass by the way spoil him, he is a reproach to his neighbors. Thou hast set up the right hand of his adversaries. Thou hast made all his enemies to rejoice. Thou hast also turned the edge of his sword and hast not made him to stand in the battle. Thou hast made his glory to cease and cast his throne down to the ground. The days of his youth hast thou shortened. Thou hast covered him with shame, Selah. How long, Lord, wilt thou hide thyself forever? Shall thy wrath burn like fire? Remember how short my time is. Wherefore hast thou made all men in vain? What man is he that liveth and shall not see death? Shall he deliver his soul from the hand of the grave? Selah. Lord, where are thy former loving kindnesses, which thou swearest unto David in thy truth? Remember, Lord, the reproach of thy servants, how I do bear in my bosom the reproach of all the mighty people, wherewith thine enemies have reproached, O Lord, wherewith they have reproached the footsteps of thine anointed. Blessed be the Lord forevermore. Amen and amen. And so the psalm ends as it begins, and that is bringing praise unto the Lord. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. Now this is indeed a psalm considered by most to have been written by David, but it doesn't really tell us that it was. It was given to Ethan the Ezrahite, who was probably one of the musicians, as many of the psalms are given to various musicians to sing. But of course, this is the hymn book of the Bible, or the psalms, which literally the word psalm means song of praise. And so the beginning here, and I believe that these are the words of Christ, even though they're given to David. The Lord said, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. And he has done that with his own mouth, as he was anointed by the Lord to go forth and to bring the gospel. Never been a more true gospel preacher on the earth than the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord anointed him for that purpose, that he might preach liberty to the captives and set those that were bound free. And so he says, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. And so the Lord, of course, we know that he's not here in the flesh, but the Lord Jesus Christ is indeed with his people. He's told his people, his disciples, he said, I will send my spirit, and he will guide you into all truth. And when the Lord sends men into the world to declare his truth, it's just as if he is declaring that truth, because they're not, God didn't send men into the world to make up stuff. He didn't send men into the world to figure out stuff. He sent men into the world to declare the acceptable year of the Lord. Amen. And so when men preach something that is outside of the realm of the acceptable year of the Lord, that is declaring the glory of God as it's revealed in Jesus Christ, with the centrality of that thought being on that which Christ came to do, as Paul said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of Christ. And he said to the Corinthians, I've determined to know nothing among you but Jesus Christ and him crucified. Right. And that is the message that we've been sent into the world to declare. Now, there are men that get strung out on all sorts of prophecies and doctrines of one kind or another, and you can listen to them day after day, and many of them never even mention Christ. But I'm telling you, a preacher that doesn't, the whole message that he has is Christ and him crucified, not preaching the gospel. Now, he may be eloquent and he may be good. He may be able to gather and hold a crowd. He may do great things as far as men look at it. But if a man is not preaching Jesus Christ and him crucified, if you come away from hearing what a man says and that's not the central thing that is upon your mind and heart, then you have not heard the gospel, because that's what the gospel is. Amen. And so we will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever, because that is the mercy of God manifested unto men. Right. How else has the Lord shown his mercy unto men except through Jesus Christ, as he sent his only begotten Son into the world to die for sinners? Now that is the demonstration of mercy. that is set before the Lord, said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw men unto myself. And that is what the Lord came to do. I'll make it known, I'll make known thy faithfulness to all generations. Now, how has the Lord been faithful to all generations? I mean, he never changes. So there's a sense in which he's faithful because he's faithful. But what's being spoken of here is the fact that the Lord, as he goes on to say in this psalm, that he will never forsake his people. He's faithful unto that people which he chose and gave to Christ from before the foundation of the world. They are special in his sight, and he will do all things to bring them unto himself. He said, I'll give people for thee. I'll give men for thee and people for thy life. He said, nothing will be withheld from those whom I love. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he prayed in the garden, he said, Father, I pray not for the world, but I pray for them whom thou hast given me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou hast given them to me. So this is the demonstration of God's faithfulness. And I believe this is a true thing, that you cannot absolutely preach on the faithfulness of God if you do not preach on the faithfulness of God to his elect. Right. I mean, where has his faithfulness been seen? I mean, the Lord, sure, he's faithful to cause the sun to rise. He's faithful to cause the seasons to occur and all of those things. But those are the natural occurrences which he has ordained and set forth in the earth. But his faithfulness that faileth not is manifested in the people of his choice, those whom he loves with an everlasting love. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. I mean, that's what the glories of heaven are. Now, men think, and we've talked about this from time to time, men think about heaven, by and large, in a carnal way. And they think about it as it's some place where they're going to be able to do whatever it is that makes them happy in this world is what they're going to be doing in heaven. If that's fishing, then they're going to have, you know, the best bass boat and all that kind of stuff, and everything's going to be going great. But that's carnal thinking. Because as we sang there a moment ago, the Lamb is all the glory of Emmanuel's Lamb. And the thing that would, cause the sons of God to have the greatest delight is to be in his presence, right, to see him. Why? Because in him is the mercy of God. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. Mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. Now, there's kind of like a shifting of gears here. Now, I believe this is Christ speaking in both ways here, but I believe he's speaking as the Father in this next verse, as he's speaking as the Son in the first two verses. And he says this, I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David my servant. Now, this chosen here is singular. He has a chosen one. Now, David, of course, we understand that David was a king that the Lord set up, and he was a special king, and the Lord blessed him specially, and he said that David was a man after his own heart. The Lord loved David. Most surely he did, as we can see throughout the pages of the Scripture. And in the sense in which the Lord uses types, David, he's speaking of David here, but he's speaking of one who's greater than David. Amen. The David of whom he is actually speaking of here is not the one who died and is buried somewhere in the earth today, but he's speaking about that greater David, that chosen one, that one who is his elect. See, the Scripture says that Christ is the elect of God. We wouldn't have any election. We wouldn't have any place to be elected into if it was not for Christ being that one who is chosen of God the firstborn to come into the world to save his people, there wouldn't be any salvation about it. We wouldn't have any place to be, was it not, that we were chosen in Christ.
Right.
And so he says here, I made my covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David, my servant. The Lord Jesus Christ is that one of whom he speaks here. Thy seed will I establish forever and build up thy throne to all generations. Now remember, when Paul's speaking to the Galatians about the promises of God that were given as the Jews thought unto Abraham and his seed, and they thought that meant the multitude of all the children that came forth from the loins of Abraham. But that's not what Paul said. He said to Abraham and to thy seed, not as of many, but as of one, even Jesus Christ. So the seed of Abraham is Christ.
Amen.
The seed of David is Christ. I mean, you know, isn't that an amazing thing that he is of the house of David? And yet he's greater than David.
Yes, he is.
Yes, he is. In fact, David can be said to be his seed. And yet he is of the seed of David. That's a glorious thing, is it not? But the Lord does have a seed. That is, just like Adam and Eve, had the seed of all the human race within him when he was created. You ever thought about that? I mean, all of the seed of the human race was in Adam. The seed of God is in Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Those whom he has chosen in Christ from before the foundation of the world, they belong to him.
Right.
They're his offspring. Not by natural birth, but by spiritual birth.
Amen.
That's why he said to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And so it is that the Lord does indeed raise up his seed. Thy seed will I establish forever and build up thy throne to all generations. Now David died. He couldn't have been speaking about him. David died, but the Lord Jesus Christ, he has raised up his seed to all generations, those that belong to him, from every tribe, kindred, and tongue, in all the ages, from the beginning. Now, who are they? Now, a lot of people spend time trying to figure out who the elect of God are. I don't know who the elect of God are.
That's right.
I trust and hope that I am numbered among them. And I believe all those who have confessed Christ and believe him are numbered among those. But I don't know who they are. You see, because a man says, I believe, doesn't necessarily mean that he does. Because I've known a lot of people that said they believed and turned away and walked no more with the Lord.
That's right.
Just like many of his disciples did in his day. So we don't know who the elect are. But we know that the Lord is faithful unto them, and he calls his own to himself. The Lord said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me.
Yes. Amen.
You see, if a man's one of the elect of God, he must come to Christ. The Lord said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, some people present that as though he was out here trying to get some people to come, but he was commanding those who are in places of need to come to him.
Amen.
He calls sinners. See, the call of God is not, you know, when I was a little boy, my mama would often call me. And I'd hear her calling, and I'd just go on about my business because I knew she wasn't really serious yet. And she might come call again, and I'd still be busy. But, buddy, when she called me by my three names, Michael Anthony McInnes, I want you to come here right now. I knew it was time to come then. And that's the effectual call of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, not everybody hears it. And some people just go on about their business as if nothing's going on. But when the Lord calls his sheep by name, he said, they come to him. They follow him. So who are the elect? They're those that follow Christ. I can't know them. You can't know them ahead of time until the Lord manifests them. I mean, we can't know. And I forget, I think it was George Whitefield, I believe, he said that he didn't know who was going to be in heaven. But he said he figured that there'd be some people there that he never figured would. There'd be some people there that he thought, or there wouldn't be some people there that he thought surely would have been there. But he said the most amazing thing is that by the grace of God, I'll be there. And that's not presumption, dear brethren, if we believe that the Lord calls us by his grace and gives us a love for his word, a love for Christ. Because how could a man have a love for Christ if the Lord didn't give it to him? See, a man can't just decide one day that he's going to love Christ. He can't make himself love Christ. Only the Lord can bring that to pass. Thy seed will I establish forever and build up thy throne to all generations, because he will be worshipped forever in all generations. And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. Because that's where the faithfulness of God is seen, is among the saints of God. Scripture says that the name of the wicked shall rot. Now, that seems to indicate that they're of no consequence. But the Lord's people, the Scripture says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Why? Because he's faithful to them. They're precious. He knows where each one is. And he calls them unto himself at the time, both as far as the call of the gospel is concerned and as that call when he brings us out of this world. You know, we don't know when that is. Some people live to be 100 years old. Some people don't make it to 20. The Lord knows them that are his.
That's right.
And he calls them at the appointed time. Yes. And that's an appointment that no man can be late for. And you can't be there before you're supposed to. It's in the hand of the Lord. For who in the heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Among all the gods, and we've spoken about that, and of course the Scripture often speaks of the gods, many gods. There's many gods. There's a bunch of them running around. People got all kind of gods. I mean, you know, there's gods of many. Now, are they true gods? No, because there's only one true and living God.
Right.
But there's gods of men's imagination. A man make up one like they want him to be. You know, he's like Grandpa sitting on this big throne somewhere with a long white beard, and he wouldn't hurt a fly, and just trying to, you know, get folks to do what he wants to do. He wanting them to help him out. But that's not the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible says, I will do according to my will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and there's none that can stay my hand or say unto thee, what doest thou? David said, our God's in the heavens.
Amen.
He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. So who in the heaven can be compared to the Lord? I mean, the answer to that is nobody. I mean, there is none that can compare unto the Lord in the heavens. Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? I don't know of but one. That's the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Yet he came and walked among men to demonstrate that he is indeed the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Even as he said unto Philip, have I been so long time with you and you don't know me? He said, he that has seen me hath seen the Father. Now, I'll leave that. You know, there are great men that down through the ages, scholars that have spent worlds of time and effort in trying to explain and figure out how God is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I've read a lot of those books. And I didn't know any more about it when I got through than before I read the books. And I'm not saying that a man shouldn't be interested in looking at these things, but dear brethren, God dwells in the light to which no man can approach.
Right.
He alone hath immortality. And what is a potsherd of the earth doing trying to explain how God is? Job thought he knew how God was. See, he said, until God showed up. And then he said, buddy, I put my hand on my mouth. And he said, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee, and I abhor myself, and I repent in dust and ashes. Oh, that we might repent in dust and ashes when we think that we've got a handle on those things that are eternal that we cannot even begin to comprehend. I don't understand that. How that the Lord Jesus Christ can say, he that has seen me has seen the Father. I can't fully explain that, but yet at the same time, I believe that's what the Scripture says. And so I believe he is God of very God. He's the only God that you'll ever see. You can't see him who's invisible, but Jesus Christ, he has declared him. He's manifested him. He's come and walked among men in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. What a glorious God. Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints and to be had in reverence of all those that are about him. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? Our God is a consuming fire. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. What a wondrous God he is. He's great. He's to be greatly feared in the assembly of the saints. When we come together, it's not the time to be bobbing around and hooping and hollering. No, let all the earth keep silence before him. See, the essence of worship is silence. That's what Job learned. He put his hand on his mouth. It's what Daniel learned. He said, when I saw him, he said, all of my comeliness, all of the beauty that I thought was in myself, he says, it turned into corruption. When John saw him on the Isle of Patmos, he says, I fell at his feet as dead. He is greatly to be feared.
Yes.
He's a great and mighty God.
Amen.
I fear that today there's such a great familiarity, false familiarity. Men think they know something about God. Dear brethren, we don't know anything about God except what he's delivered to us and has manifested to us, and that is that Jesus Christ is the Savior of sinners. He's the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He is that one whom we are called to worship. To be had in reverence of all of them. Holy and reverend is his name. I got a little pet peeve, and it bothers me when men take to themselves the title of reverend. The Scripture says holy and reverend is his name.
That's right.
Now, dear brethren, if holy and reverend is his name, why on earth would a man want to be called reverend? I've never comprehended. Now, I know that it's a very common thing. You know, and if you say anything about it, you're people look at you like you're some kind of a nut. But if I have been called reverend from time to time, but when I knew it and when it was in a situation where I could correct it, I did correct it. I don't want to be called reverend because reverend is his name.
That's right.
And he's to be, and what that means is the one who's to be revered. Yes. O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee? Who is like unto the Lord? Glorious in truth and majesty, full of mercy to all who call upon his name. Who is like unto him? There is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. Now, the way men think about forgiveness is, well, if there's forgiveness with the Lord, then we just, you know, we'll just go on about our business and do whatever we want to. But you see, the Scripture says there's forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. You see, when a man understands that God ought to just smash him like a bug under his thumb and just grind him to powder, the fact that God would show mercy and forgive the sins of a people ought to cause us to be fearful to come into his presence. What a great and mighty God is he. Oh, that he might cause us to fear his name. To magnify the name of Christ, who's our Savior. Yes. The Savior of sinners. Not the one who's trying to save folks if they'll let him. But the one who went to Calvary's cross and poured out his blood to pay the sin debt of his people. He's mighty to save. Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bosra? He that is mighty to save. I, the Lord. Oh, what a glorious God he is. Amen. Yet if I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion, the Lord does indeed reign and rule among the heavens and among the inhabitants of the earth, and the saints of God praise him. Oh, that my mouth might be filled with his praise forever. Someone have a question or a comment? Yes, he will. Yes, if any man ever doubts the judgment of God, they need to look to Calvary's cross, and then they'll know God will not acquit the wicked. He will by no means clear the guilty. He will exact the punishment that is due unto sin. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ. What a contrast. Men think they're going to earn something. They are. If they keep going, they think they're going to come before God and get what they deserve. They are. See, every man that thinks he's going to get something he deserves before God is going to get it. But it's not going to be what he thinks that it's going to be. Because the grace of God is not something that a man earns, something that a man's given. That's right. I remember this thought came, I was thinking about this earlier in the week. Brother Rolf Barnard, he was telling a story about one time he was conducting some meetings in a little town, and he went in this store, and this young girl was behind the counter, and she was waiting on him, and she told him, I heard you're the one that's preaching down there at that church. And they struck up a conversation, and she said, well, I'm a Christian. And he says, is that right? He said, well, how long you been a Christian? And she said, I've always been a Christian. He said, honey, he said, that's too long. See, nobody's always been a Christian. Because you were raised up and you heard the gospel and all of these things, that doesn't mean that you're a Christian.